911. What's the address of your emergency?
The story is true.
Pima County Justice Files.
True stories. Always on the Summit County Justice Files. Welcome. It's your weekly dose of law and order, Summit County style, brought to you by Crystal 93 and the Summit County Sheriff's Office. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93, here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, and we're here to inform and educate and engage with our community.
Yeah, before we get started, just a quick disclaimer. The Justice Files exclude some of the more serious and sensitive offenses, as well as ongoing investigations that could jeopardize prosecution. And of course, everyone accused of a crime is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
Crime may not pay, but it sure makes for some interesting stories. So buckle up as we dive into the latest criminal activity, the lessons learned, and yes, more than just a few minutes of law enforcement levity, because while justice is serious business, a little humor never hurt anyone. Unless it's a crime of bad jokes.
Which we're guilty of. Yeah,
several times. Let's get into it. The first item is about a resident in unincorporated Silverthorne who reported seeing an unknown person parked in front of their home who appeared to be loading a magazine into a handgun and mimicking shooting motions toward the house.
911, what is the address of the emergency?
Hi, I need to report, I don't know if it's an emergency or not, but there's someone outside my house. Looks like he has, he has a gun. I'm home alone. My husband's out of town. He is right below my house. There's like a turnout, and he's parked there. He's been there since like, 12:06, 12:10. And I have a good zoom-in camera on the gate, and so I zoomed in on him, and I've seen him. He's like, I don't know if he's on drugs. He's got windows down.
Is it a male or a female?
I think it's a male. He's got long hair.
Did you see if there's anyone else with him?
I cannot tell. I don't think there's anyone in the passenger.
And what kind of gun did he?
A 9mm. I don't know if he's on drugs.
What is he doing?
He's rocking out to music, dancing in his car. I don't know.
And just to confirm, you think he was by himself?
I do believe he had a magazine, and then he had a gun, and he put the magazine in the gun and kind of was pointing it around. I have it all on video. Because he's looking pretty much out of his passenger window directly up at my house.
Where is the gun in relation to him? Is
it's in the vehicle with him. I don't know if it's in his lap.
Wow, she knew that it was a 9mm. That's what's amazing for people that can identify the actual caliber of a handgun.
You know, not even I can do that.
Yeah, I can't either.
And I've been doing this a long time.
Yeah, but I know.
Like you, I'm impressed when,
right,
especially gun owners we have here in Summit County that are so knowledgeable.
They know.
You know, and I have some deputies, obviously, that are like that. But I always find it funny when people ask me questions about guns, and I'm like, look, I own one gun, and I've had it for 35 years, and it sits on my hip, and it's the only gun I know.
What caliber is it?
It's a 45 caliber Smith & Wesson.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an old one. Like,
yeah,
all the new young deputies make fun of me because
he's so old school. So what happened with this incident? Did a deputy find somebody loading a gun or playing around with a gun in their car?
Yeah, so this one, if you remember, Tom, was all over the news a couple weeks ago where a woman had driven up into a private neighborhood up a one-way dead-end street, dirt road at the top of this mountain where there's, you know, half a dozen homes, and pulled into a driveway and started doing as the woman described. I mean, she had a camera on her driveway, as we always talk about surveillance cameras, and was literally watching this as you hear her talking to the 911 operator. Again, look how calm and cool and collective she was.
Yeah.
And so the deputies go up there. you know, they arrive on scene, and the woman, it turns out to be a she, not a he, refuses to exit the vehicle and refuses to listen to any of the commands. She's continuing to rock out inside the car. She acknowledges she had a handgun in the car, and then she hit the gas. Now, remember, she's at the top of a dead-end road.
Right. Where's she
top
going?
Top of a mountain. And she in her escape, she, you know, she hit a patrol car. She drove off a road, punched through a fence, all while aiming back downhill and just bushwhacked down the mountain until she was stopped abruptly by a water ditch, an old-fashioned water ditch that stopped her and her vehicle. And she was trapped. I mean, literally her vehicle fit in the water ditch.
Oh, wow.
And the doors could not open. Yeah, even if she wanted to get out.
Did she have to crawl out through a window?
Eventually, 4 hours later, when we got her out of the vehicle, it was a standoff for 4 hours that she was not willing to get out of the vehicle. And we, you know, we had our co-responder, our SMART team up there with a clinician trying to, you know, deal with her and negotiate with her. And 4 hours later, we introduced gas into the car, and that was the only way to get her out.
Wow.
And she ended up, as you just guessed, she ended up climbing through the window to get out. But, I mean, she made it a long way. I mean, if this did – first of all, if we had had a winter and there was snow, there's no way this would have ever happened. I mean, she would have just sank right there
at the
top.
Sunk in a snowbank.
But because –
there was no snowbank there.
No, and this is a south-facing aspect, so it's in the sun.
Right.
Completely burned off. And she just went romping down – you know, of course, this is audio, not visual. But obviously, we have a drone video of this, of her just – womping down the mountain, getting sideways, almost rolling, continuing down, and then all of a sudden stops like on a dime because she got stuck in this ditch.
Wow.
She was taken safely into custody. Obviously, there's many pending charges on her, including DUI. Not only was she rocking out, as the caller said, but she had been heavily drinking inside the car as well. So... all's well that ends well. No one got hurt. No deputies got hurt. There was no use of force other than the introduction of the gas. So that was great. The fact that it ended safely when it started so badly and we knew there was a gun in the car and she admitted there was a gun could have ended really badly.
Yeah, but it ended out okay and charges are pending.
Charges are pending.
A DUI incident early one morning, a deputy on routine patrol came across a vehicle pulled over on the side of the highway just outside Breckenridge. Inside the vehicle, the deputy found several passengers and a driver who smelled of alcohol and appeared to be intoxicated. One passenger explained that she had asked the driver to pull over so she could relieve herself.
Well, of course.
Of course.
Hey, you can't make this stuff up, right? And thank God, through the investigation, obviously the driver was hammered.
Yeah.
So were the other people in the car, but there was one sober person in the car.
Oh, wow.
So one went to jail, the driver, and the sober passenger was able to drive the other people, including the woman that relieved herself. We're able to drive them home and save the car from being towed. But, I mean...
So at what point during relieving herself did the deputies get to interact with this whole scene?
Oh,
did she already relieve herself?
I think they caught her midstream.
Oh, okay. I was thinking either that or she had to hold it for a long time.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
But, you know, I mean, if you're going to be driving... Again, we don't catch the smart ones, right?
True.
You're hammered. You're driving with a car full of hammered people. One of the females asked you to pull over so she could pee on the side of the road. And instead of going, let me go down this dark road in the forest.
Now pull over
right
now. Gotta pee now. No, pull over now.
Right on the highway.
How many times have guys heard that? Oh, pull over now. I gotta pee.
I gotta go. Yeah, nothing like waiting to the last minute.
That's right.
Hey, and Murphy's Law, of course, here comes a deputy along.
There you go.
Good evening.
How's your evening going? Well, we have another DUI incident. Deputy observed a pickup truck driving carelessly and passing other vehicles on Highway 9 just south of Breckenridge in a no-passing zone and on a blind corner.
Of course.
And when the deputy pulled the truck over, another motorist passing by yelled expletives out the window aimed at the reckless driver. And we have the body cam audio from this incident.
Okay. I see the marijuana bullet sitting there right there, right? It's one of the... Yeah. What do you mean I'm fine? Well, stop. I come walking up the car, and it reeks like you just smoked marijuana in the car, man. Well, there's a bowl sitting right there with fresh marijuana in it, right? Let me see it. Right? Like, and it's warm. And it's warm to the touch. And my sergeant here can see smoke coming out of the back of the pipe, man. So you clearly just smoked. So why are you smoking while you're driving? And where's the where's the weed? You're not taking this back. Where's the weed in the car? Do you see this? This gives me probable cause to search your car, right? Because open marijuana container in Colorado is illegal. This is evidence of a crime. This gives me probable cause to believe there's more marijuana inside your vehicle. So where is the marijuana inside the vehicle? Okay. Why don't you do me a favor? Step on out, buddy. Cool. Step on out of the car.
And it never goes well from there. As soon as they say, step out of the car.
Since weed has been legalized in Colorado, but it's legal. You can smoke. It's like, can you drink? Can you drive down the road with a beer in your lap? Can you take a bunch of prescription pills and drive? I mean, you can't. And all I ever think about when I hear these audio files is like the old Cheech and Chong movies.
Yeah.
With the smoke pouring out.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the image I get right away. You want my license, man? It's on the bumper.
And the driver starts denying it, and yet there's a smoking bowl right there in the in the center console. And of course it belongs to somebody else. And it's like, but you're alone in the car. Oh, I just dropped them off.
Yeah,
they must have left it in the car.
They left it, yeah.
Oh, my.
It's not mine.
I remember back in the day, you know, obviously this was like during the crack epidemic, and would pat people down in the street and you'd find, you know, a bunch of crack and money in their pockets and stuff. And they'd go, "These aren't my pants." I mean, that was like the common, like, "Hey, I crashed at somebody else's house and I must have put on the oh my God, I just noticed these aren't my pants.
These aren't my pants." I had no idea what was in the pockets.
So the smoking bowl in the center console with a bag of weed.
Right.
No, not mine. It's not mine.
I don't know how it got there.
It's the guy that I just dropped off. How long have you been following me?
So what were the results?
Oh, obviously this guy was hammered too and went to jail, and the results are not good for him. They're expensive results. He'll need a lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was more weed in the car too, so I mean, you know, it's not mine.
Yeah, of course. Somebody else left it. Let's talk about a fraud case. Numerous calls from local residents reporting suspicious phone calls from someone claimed to be a commander with the sheriff's office. The fraud scheme calls range from callers being advised that there were warrants out for their arrest to attempting to gather information for a background check on a family member. Wow. Another unique fraud case.
You know, we talk about these all the time, Tom, whether it be on the radio or the Justice Files, and these fraud schemes just continue to circulate. And they will go online and research the sheriff's office. They'll research some of our municipal police departments. They'll get real names. I've had them where people said they were me and, you know, asking you for money. Thank God these people, there was no money lost in any of these fraud schemes, but they're just coming around again. And, you know, as people start getting their tax refunds, they're really going to become prevalent where people are going to try to get this money out of. So people beware.
So are these mostly text message frauds, or how are they being disseminated?
These were calls, but there's text message now. You get them on your emails, and they look more legit all the time. I mean, these started years ago when the phone calls started.
Yeah.
There were several times where the FBI tracked them down across the country where they were prisoners inside of what they call private jails, where they allow cell phones and stuff. and they found like phone banks set up.
Oh, man. Give criminals an opportunity.
Can you imagine in a for-profit private jail?
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy in some parts of the country?
Yeah.
Crazy, but well, everyone should beware.
Yeah, the bottom line is if somebody's sending you an email, a text, or calling you and asking for money in any way, shape, or form, a red flag should go up just right away.
A red flag.
Right away.
Yeah.
Even if you do owe money to somebody, still consider it, hey, this might be a scam.
And that's what they're hoping. They're hoping they get the person that goes, oh, my God, they know.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They found out. Oh, I hope they forgot. Oh, they didn't forget. Oh, yeah. Oh no.
And with the advancement of AI, the other one that are going out is AI mimicking family members. So it could be someone like your daughter, granddaughter calling saying, I'm in jail. Can you please send money?
Wow.
And you think it's real.
Right.
I mean, you should just say, hey, give me the phone number.
I'll call you right back.
I'll call you right back.
Yeah.
And then call your family and go,
yeah. What's going
on? Is someone in jail?
Right.
Yeah. Because those things are becoming more and more prevalent.
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy how good they're getting.
Confirm.
Don't let go of your purse strings.
Yeah. It's pretty wicked out there in the world that we live.
And we used to be afraid of pickpockets.
Yeah. Wow. That's probably not even a thing anymore.
I think it's a lost art.
Right.
I don't know.
And if they pick a pocket, what are they going to get?
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing, right. Yeah,
not
exactly.
Anymore. There's no cash.
No.
Jeez.
Well, there's another DUI case. A deputy driving northbound on Highway 9 toward Breckenridge observed a vehicle behind him illegally passing another car. And when the vehicle caught up to him at a high rate of speed in relation to the speed limit, he pulled over and let it pass shortly after initiating a traffic stop.
Hey, Tom, and you read that right. The speeding car passed the deputy.
The deputy.
Who's in a marked black and white with lights on top.
Yeah.
Right by.
Yes.
You're going to hear it here.
And we have body cam audio on this one as well.
This is entertaining.
How are you?
Sorry.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I'm Deputy Henderson at County Sheriff's Office. Any idea why I'm stopping you? Two different reasons.
One, because I passed that car because...
Yeah. Okay. So, no passing zone, double yellow.
He waved me on and I came right up on you and I saw you, but then you pulled over and then...
Yeah, I pulled over to let you go because I want to pull you over.
100%.
Because you're speeding, right? Speed limit's 30. Okay, and you caught up to me in a snap of a finger.
Whoa, I'm sorry. I'm in a hurry because I felt anxious and I've done this road a lot.
Sure.
And I was being an asshole, but it was bad timing because it was perfect timing for us, but he waved me and I zoomed and you were right there and I had no idea you were you.
Sure.
What do you mean? Had I known you were there, though, I would have done differently.
Did you? The truck?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you physically see his arm stick out the window? Because it's pitch black outside.
Yes, I did. I didn't get a license plate or anything. We can't go. It was a darker Tacoma.
Sure. Okay. Did he, pull over for you? Because what I saw, it didn't seem like he pulled over or anything for you.
No, sir. So it was
she forgets he was behind her.
Yeah, I saw.
And it's like the bend that everybody does. And this is the worst timing of my life.
Do you have your ID on you, ma'am?
Yes.
So again, I see my mirror, right? I don't see him pull over for you. I don't know how you see his arm right now at this time of morning because it's so dark outside.
Okay.
Right? And how fast did you get up to? Again, because I'm cruising.
I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm cruising at the speed limit, ma'am.
I would have never thought of arguing with a cop.
I did not do over 42.
In my pre-cop days. I would have never thought of it.
No. You just got out of me.
Let me ask a few seconds. How long has it been since you drank alcohol?
You notice he didn't say, have you been drinking?
Right.
How long
has it been?
Man,
yeah.
How long
know you've been drinking.
Drink alcohol? Do you not want to answer that question?
I'm going to give you my ID, because this is... This is awkward as fuck. I'm sorry. Curious.
Do you have your ID on you? Because we're having a problem pulling up your ID.
Oh, sorry. No,
don't have a driver's license on you?
I've just been searching around for.
Okay.
No. Sorry.
No driver's license?
No, I just showed you the picture of it. I'm sorry.
Okay, why is it coming back to an Oliver?
Because I changed my name.
Because it's
name.
Fake.
Your name used to be Oliver.
From Oliver to Olivia? Yeah,
you changed your name to?
Oliver.
Oliver.
And I'm realizing...
Is it a fake ID?
Point? You just surrender here and go, yeah. Okay, right,
give up. I don't know.
Can we start over?
Just give up.
Yeah.
That's my
oh,
born
no.
legal name.
She keeps going.
Okay. I have one of my numbers.
Well, we can figure that out here in a second. Why don't you do me a favor? Hop on out of the car for me, okay?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're done.
Can you also just, like, recheck that? Because, first of all...
Nope. Hop on out of the car.
I changed it to Oliver.
Okay. Recheck that fake ID.
Get out of the car.
Okay.
Can you unlock your car for me?
Or hang on. I got three others one here. Wait. I gave you the wrong one.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
Boy.
Oh.
Yeah. Oliver.
You know.
Who changed her name to Oliver, not Olivia. It's, okay. This, yeah, very confusing. And she seemed to be just a bit under the influence.
Yeah. And she had the warm THC vape pen on her lap as
of
well.
Of course.
not only did she, as you saw or heard, I should say, give conflicting answers right. about everything, including her drug and alcohol use, she starts with a fake name, and then she gives him a fake ID, and that's when he was like, okay, this
did the fake name and the fake ID correspond?
No,
they were totally different.
Yes,
totally
of
different
course.
To start with. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Jeez. That's why when he came back going, do you actually have an ID? Because that name doesn't come back to anything. And right. She hands him an ID and it's a totally different name.
And not the name that she gave up front.
So as usual, she got arrested.
Okay.
And I should say as usual, once we had her in custody and we fingerprinted her and found out who she really was.
Was there a warrant out for her arrest by any chance?
Shocking, Tom.
Oh,
shocking. So she committed all of these new crimes just to get out from under a warrant.
Oh, what was the warrant for?
You know, I don't know. I don't have that in front of me. But, I mean... It's like, I don't understand why people, it's like the warrant was probably nothing.
Right.
Or who knows, maybe
it
was murder.
It could have been something, but still, it's like, how much deeper do you want to dig this hole?
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. Well, you know, this is what makes the Justice Files entertaining.
Exactly. Yes. It gives us a little bit of amusement.
The lighter side of justice. That's why we're here, Tom, to entertain. This is not serious.
Not at all. And speaking of entertaining, we try to do that every Thursday morning on the radio on Crystal 93 Radio. Tune in at 7:45 on Thursday mornings, and that's when I get to visit with the sheriff. He stops by the studio, and we chat just a little bit.
Yeah, we do.
But then we get to talk at length about things going on here on the Summit County Justice
Files. We get to laugh a little longer on the Justice Files.
Hey, there was a fight. Deputies received a report of a fight involving three men in the lobby of the Frisco Transit Center, and we do have some audio. 911 and body cam.
911, what's the address of your emergency?
We're at the Frisco Transit Center. There are three guys fighting inside the Transit Center.
It's physical?
Yes. Headbutting. One guy hit him with a chair. Now they're, what are they doing right now? They're just kind of, one guy's bleeding, but they're not, no more fisticuffs. I'm outside. We're just,
keep in mind, this is a drunk fight.
Yeah.
Do you see weapons?
There's some kind of, I don't see any weapons.
Other than a chair and a bottle.
It's spilled out.
And you, pick up that blood.
You called. Okay. Tell me what you saw?
The one guy with the crutches was sitting there minding his own business.
The guy with the crutches, the longer hair, the glasses?
He was minding his own business, and then the Hispanic guy came in, and he sat next to me and was trying to talk to me about, agenda.
Yeah.
But he finally wandered over there and kept poking at the guy. Not hitting him, just getting him.
Was he touching him or was he?
Yeah, no, he was touching him, and the guy said, don't touch me.
Yeah.
And obviously it escalated from there. I don't know what really set him off.
Okay.
And then the guy in the white coat, I think, was actually trying to calm everything down.
The guy with the blue jacket on over there?
He had a white coat. Yeah.
Okay, he's wearing under that. Okay.
I think he tried to calm everything down, and I just went outside.
How you doing?
Oh, up here.
Yeah. All right, can you tell me again about how this went down today?
I was sitting down drawing and working on the same drawing for like a week now.
Okay.
Really good one. But I don't know, dude came up and started pushing me, touching me, and I told him to leave me alone, told him to fuck off, told him no, told him all kinds of stuff. He just would not leave me alone. And then everything else is on camera.
It was on camera. Yeah, so you, I saw you went over and picked up the chair. Okay. And you didn't hit him with the chair initially.
Nope.
Put the chair down.
Made sure he knew where my mind was about it.
Yeah, what did he say to that?
I don't know, something in Spanish.
Okay.
I
was he yelling at you? Was he yelling at that point? Or?
No, but I know he was talking shit. I think I heard Matadoro, which means kill you.
Okay. Yeah, so he kept going. You sat back down again.
And then, like, he just kept touching me again and over and kept talking shit to me. I sat and waited and contemplated my decisions and my actions and then decided, you know what? I have had enough of it from all of these people. I have been literally pissed on by them.
By them? By those two?
But that general group of individuals
okay. That
hangs out together.
So the fight happened. So yep. Three different fights had little skirmishes. You guys at one point sat down next to each other. I saw that. What happened then? So you said
first fight,
you sat down in the chair again. He sat down next to you again. You're fine for a minute or two.
He just kept coming back, kept trying to touch me, kept trying to talk to me. And like I said, I heard Matarlo a couple times.
Yeah, which means he said, I'll kill you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody was inebriated.
Wow. Yeah, you know, and this transfer center is a nice facility.
Yeah, it is.
These guys completely trashed it.
Oh, man.
Two of the three received summons for fighting. One of them actually wasn't involved in the fight. Was trying to actually stop the fight. And one of them was hurt badly enough to go to the hospital.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was, you know, consuming too much drugs or alcohol never ends well.
Never.
Never. And this was a great example of that. And unfortunately, this is, as you know, a transit hub in our community that a lot of innocent people come through. And then here are these drunk people decide to do a drunk fight.
It's really a nice place, the Frisco Transit
it
Center.
Is.
It really is. And don't let stories like this discourage you at all.
I mean, this could have happened in a bar. This could have happened
exactly.
In your living room. This
right.
Is your typical fighting just because we're drunk.
And that happens, and we talk about it here on the Summit County Justice Files. Let's talk about a renter who had arrived at the unit that he had reserved and noticed voices and movement coming from inside. So he chose to leave and called deputies to report possible squatters on the property.
We were going to stay into an Airbnb, and we were able to gain access to it, but it looks like there's squatters in there. The owners of the Airbnb know it, or are aware of it now.
Oh, okay, so
now.
You contacted them?
Yeah.
Are they currently in the house?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the door jamb looked like it was busted in, too.
How many people?
We don't know. They were moving around inside, but we didn't want to go inside and check. They were shuffling around. I could hear people talking in there.
I'm going to go ahead and send an officer your way.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot of rental properties in Summit County. What did you say, about like two-thirds of the properties
are
rental properties
in
Summit County?
Yeah, there are either vacant homes or rentals.
And there's just so many issues like this that are happening. But this one, squatters.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way the call came out. That's obviously what, you know, we've talked about before, Tom, where, you know, many times the call you're dispatched to is not the call you're going to.
Right.
And you always got to have your head on a swivel and be thinking. This was not the case. You know, we think when there's squatters like this that either it's someone that's broken into the unit or it's some sort of fraud scheme. As it turns out, as the deputies got there and interviewed the occupants and found all the people running around inside, that they provided a lease and said that they were long-term renters of the property. They contacted the owner of the property, who then blamed it on the rental platform and said, "Oh yeah, no, I took it." And this could all be a scam, right? I mean, sure. You really never know. You're just taking people's word for it in the middle of the night, right? So the owner is saying, "Oh no, no, there's some mistake. I took it off the rental platform and rented it long term." And so, unfortunately, the people that are out are the people that are on the street.
Uh-huh.
You know, that just have a rental that said they rented it, and have to find in the middle of winter here another rental place with their bags in the car.
Geez.
So it's real unfortunate, and it becomes between the person who says they're leasing, the person who says they're renting, the owner, and this rental platform company. It becomes a civil matter until it's not. You know what I mean? Like, they need to figure out, what did a crime occur? Was there fraud here? Was there intent? Or was it really the rental company's fault that someone didn't, when they got off the phone call with the owner saying, "Yeah, could you take me off the platform?" And they went, "Yeah, we sure will, Tom."
Yeah.
And they never did.
So what
it
was
could
the
be
deal?
Any of those.
There was a busted door jam that was reported.
Yeah, so that's why the guy thought it was squatters.
Yeah.
But it was just a busted door.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought, when I first heard, I thought maybe these people then went over to the Frisco Transfer Center.
Yeah.
And got into a fight.
Got into a fight. Totally different people.
Yeah, no. Different call.
Different call. Wow.
Yeah.
I hope it works out for them.
Just,
yeah.
I mean, yeah,
it gets confusing when you've got properties, you've got agencies renting those properties,
yes.
You've got renters, you've got scams and frauds that are trying to pick it off.
Oh, my gosh. All in the middle of it.
Jeez.
Yeah. Sometimes it's really hard to sort out.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes it starts with the rental company and the owner to work out the dispute.
And they got it worked out eventually.
Yes, we never heard from anyone again, so I guess it did.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about fraud with a traffic stop. A deputy initiated a traffic stop on a vehicle after noticing that the license plate did not match the vehicle it was attached to.
Oh. Imagine.
Upon further inspection, it was discovered that the registration sticker was also fraudulent. Body cam audio on this one.
Morning, Sergeant Wilson with the Sheriff's Office. The reason I'm stopping you is this license plate doesn't have an active registration.
Oh, this is a rental.
This is a rental, too.
It's a rental car?
Yeah.
Do you know who you rented it from or where you rented it from?
It's a guy on Turo.
A guy on, like, wait, out of where? What city or?
Denver.
Denver? Okay. Because, yeah, there's no listing on this plate, and then there's also a repossession listing on it saying that the bank owns it as of a week ago.
Right. Not at you.
No, I get it, guys, if that's the case.
Again, a car full of young college guys that rented this car online.
I can't call him.
Where are you guys headed to?
The Donnell parking lot.
Okay, right here. And where are you guys coming from right now?
Like,
just
from
5 minutes down the road. We're from Boston, but we're like... So you guys are staying here?
Yeah, we're here for a bachelor party.
Oh, okay. Sweet, sweet. Yeah, I don't know how Turo works. Is it like an app that you can show like a receipt or something like that? Just like
I have it. I'm just going to text him, no registration, and this is for law enforcement, car sharing agreement.
Okay, perfect.
We already had fucking problems with this car, too.
Oh, really?
It already broke down.
I'm sorry, guys.
It's okay, not your fault. Just, of course. It's a bad juju on it.
Okay, that was good to me. Give me 1 second. Let me just run your information, and then I just got to see what dispatch says about the plate. I might have to take the plates. I know this isn't your guys' car, so
or the car.
We need to pile in.
Okay, sounds good. We'll get it figured out. I appreciate you guys being honest about what it is. And, don't worry. I'm not gonna give you a ticket for something if you rented the car and it's not your deal. So just give me 1 second, all right? So here's the deal. These license plates belong to a completely different car.
Go fake.
The VIN comes back to this car, but the registration expired like over a year ago. Which parking lot are you guys trying to go to?
Donova parking lot.
Okay.
Again, we have buddies that can grab us in another car.
How about we do this? I know that you have nothing to do with this, so I'm just going to follow you over there.
That's fine.
You guys can park. You can go ski in. I'm going to give you my business card.
Thank you.
I will tell you, I'm going to grab your phone numbers. There's a possibility I tow the car, in which case you guys are going to have to pile in your other buddy's car.
We're going
to
take our gear.
Yeah, I just don't want you guys to get stopped because technically it's fictitious plates. They could be stolen and all that shit. I appreciate you showing me that. So I'm probably going to get, if you can screenshot all that stuff, and then while we're driving over there, once we get there, I'll have you text it all to me. Let me get back in my car. Once I turn my lights off, then go ahead and I'll pull out behind you. I'll just follow you guys wherever you're going to park. And then once we get there, we'll figure it out, okay? Yeah.
Deputies are, right?
Thank you. Yep, just give me 1 second here. This is the most bizarre situation I've ever. So, I just, this guy just happened to pull out in front of me, ran the plate. It comes back no record, but it comes back with a repossession hit. The repossession hit shows the VIN that is on this car and this plate that's on this car, okay? The hand search for this plate comes back to a red Jeep Wrangler that's diesel that expired in like 2021.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. If you run the VIN on this car, it comes back to this car with a completely different plate that expired June of last year. The dude is renting it via Turo. So that's why I released the two guys, because they gave me they showed me their Turo confirmation and everything. So they have nothing to do with it. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to fuck up your guys' vacation trying to figure this out. But I think I'm at the point, I can't get a hold of the guy. I've tried calling the owner on 3 different numbers can't get through. Yeah. So I think I'm just going to tow it. Well, I think we tow it.
I
think we have to tow it.
And it sucks for those people who rented it.
But so he, and they
two
were cool
deputies
about
now
like,
conferring with each other.
Car,
I think we got to tow it.
Kind of inconvenient, but he was like, this thing broke down yesterday. And he's like, we contemplated just getting rid of it to begin with because it's been nothing but a pain. I stopped them back there, but because they were on a bachelor party going skiing, I'm like, why don't you just go where you're going and you guys can leave and I'll deal with the car because I don't want to ruin your whole day. Mm-hmm. So I think at a minimum we can tow it and then I can put a hold on it that says they have to show valid registration to pick it up. Well, I think we'll do that.
So there's an app you can rent a car from private individuals.
From private people. You know, you can do this with motorhomes. You can do this with I imagine a glass of water now. You know what I mean? Like
okay.
An office space.
But if that glass of water isn't yours.
Exactly.
So
I imagine these poor kids, you know, college kids traveling together on a ski trip, trying to save money, decided to go on this app and rent a car from a private party because it's cheaper than a rental company. And it turns out that the car that they rented from this guy, the whole thing was a fraud scheme.
Wow.
The car, I'm sure, is going to turn out that it's stolen. The plates, obviously, as you heard, the plates didn't match with the VIN, they didn't match with the car, they didn't match with the registration, and a repo company is looking for the car. So somebody stopped paying on this car a long time ago, but I'm sure this person on the other end of this app has just been running this like nothing, like it's a cash cow.
And who knows how many cars.
And like anything else, the person committing the crime, the fraud, is like, well, if I lose it, I got 5 other cars. You know, you just run it until you lose it. And as long as you're not in it, and as long as there's innocent people involved, chances of you getting caught are slim to none. Because I'm sure that you also provided the app company, you know, that Turo, all false information. So when the police go to Turo is going to give them the information of the person on the profile, and it's going to be all false.
And that's what happened?
And that's what, well, I mean, we don't know, but this is what always happens when it's like this.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
In a transaction like this, isn't there an individual that you'd actually talk to face-to-face to get the keys from the car from?
Yeah, to go pick up the car, but usually they'll say, I'll meet you at City Market.
Oh,
you know what I mean? You're like,
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, they'll make it convenient for you, like, oh, hey, well, where are you?
Yeah.
I'll come to you. And
okay.
You're like, wow, this guy's going to bring me the car. And it's all fraud.
Wow.
And if you pay in cash.
Jeez.
Or I prefer you pay with your credit card. That way I can fraudulently continue to use your credit card.
Oh, man.
I just need those 3 little digits on the back.
Yeah. That little security code.
Yeah. Just give me that and we're good.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a scam.
I mean, some of these just go, you know, they just one scam leads into another. I mean, they're running 20 different scams at the same time.
And the best way to protect yourself?
Everyone who's trying to save money, I would say, you know, it's always safer to go through a legit company, right? It's always safer.
And if you see a deal that's too good to be true.
Oh, wait a minute.
It probably is too good to be true.
Wow. Otherwise, you end up in Breckenridge on a ski trip like this with no car being towed from underneath you.
So they had some buddies with the vehicle.
Thank goodness.
They could.
But what we don't know is, was that one also running on Tyrone?
Yeah. So now where is this car?
Now?
Yeah.
We will impound it and then try to contact this repo company and figure out, at least start from there, like, who originally owned this car?
Some kind of trail, see if it was reported stolen or missing.
I mean, that's
at
the
all.
Fun part of detective work. You start tracking this stuff down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, your detectives are on it.
And they're on it. They're busy.
We hope to hear some results on the Summit County Justice Files. There is a vehicle fire. Multiple reports of an explosion in the Dillon Valley area were received, and deputies found a vehicle that was fully engulfed in flames parked at the upper Straight Creek trailhead. We just talked about this on the radio, too.
We just talked about this this morning.
This is a big story that is getting attention from all over the state.
Yeah, this is one of those ones that, as we talked about on the air this morning, Tom, on the radio on Crystal 93, that, you know, people don't understand that this isn't TV. This is real life, and things don't get solved in 30 minutes. I mean, the questions that are coming out from all over the place are great questions, but they're not. But they're questions that we don't have the answers to yet. There are, I think we counted 5 agencies, state, local, state, and federal agencies involved in this investigation.
But on TV, it's just CSI, and they take care of it all.
It is all those all-encompassing episodes, right?
Right.
Yeah, and you're still solving in an hour.
Yeah.
You know, I guess we're just not as good as TV.
Oh, well. Real life just sucks sometimes.
It just sucks. But boy, this is a car that did explode.
Yeah,
that was
this
on fire.
Like, that's serious.
There is somebody inside that's dead. And, you know, as we talked about on Crystal 93 this morning, that because there was a fire involves the local fire agency, because we need to find out if the criminal nexus involves my detectives, it involves a state agency, Colorado Bureau of Investigations, because of their expertise in arson. And then because there was an explosion, it involves the feds now, ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, because it involved an explosion. And each one has an investigation that needs to run its course.
And the coroner's office. Don't forget about them.
Forgot the coroner's office. Yeah. And then they all need to come back to the table and talk about what does the bigger picture look like for the investigation. How do all of these individual investigations now fit into the bigger investigation?
So, unfortunately, we're not going to get the results before the next commercial break.
Yeah, before the end of this broadcast.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. But hopefully,
but we will talk about it on a future Justice Files.
Yes, we will have some more information as we follow up on this.
We sure will.
But the speculation, I'm sure, has just been running rampant because there's no information to fill the void. Hey, so all sorts of rumors have to fill the void.
From bad marriages to cartel hits to, you know.
You name it.
Someone that went missing over 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, and now they've been found.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, they were abducted by a UFO. Oh,
UFO aliens. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like 10 years ago, they were abducted, and then magically
and all of a sudden, there
appeared.
They are.
Just like, we'll get the real. We'll get the real story.
Hey, again, the lighter side of the justice.
Yeah.
We are just joking around.
We'll let you know.
Trying to bring some levity.
When there is some results on the investigation. We'll pass it along.
We sure will.
We have a third-hand report of unruly riders giving the driver a hard time on the Mustang headed to Frisco.
I am with Mustang. I'm over here at the Frisco Transit Center, and I was just alerted by my dispatcher that I have a coach coming in going westbound, and we have intoxicated individuals. They are giving my driver a bad time. And they're getting nasty with him, and they are getting ready to pull into the Frisco Transit Center within a couple of minutes.
Do we know if they have weapons or anything like that?
Not that I know of, but they've been drinking on the coach, and they know better. And the coach is pulling into the transfer center right now.
Obviously, they don't know better.
I was going to say, how does he know?
Right.
He's not on the bus.
They know better.
How does he know they know better?
No,
does he know
don't.
Them?
They don't know better. Obviously.
You know, it's interesting. This is 3 people, and the fight was 3 people.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not connected.
Not at all. Just happened to be in the same general location.
Yes. You know, what's so unfortunate about this is the Bustang provides such a value to connecting all these communities along the I-70 corridor from Denver to Grand Junction. And they provide a ride to a lot of families and skiers. I mean, a whole mix of people that can't otherwise afford to travel or are trying to save the environment and carpool, bus pool.
Oh, I have people telling me all the time they take the Bustang over to Vail.
Well, there you go.
And it's just, it's so much more convenient. It's cheap, and they don't have to deal with the logistics of parking or any of that. It's just take the bus.
As I said, such value to so many different people.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate when you get people on there partying a little too much, and as these people were. And it's not, I would tell you it's not common, but it's not uncommon to get these calls about Bustang, about Greyhound, about all the buses that frequent through there.
Yeah.
And it's really unfortunate. In this instance, by the time the deputies got there, two of these people had already straggled away, and the one that was left there was able to get back on the bus and promise to not drink anymore and not harass the driver. But no crimes were committed, when other than they know better. I love it.
That's just they know better. And what are you doing hassling the driver
Could you imagine being the driver?
Not at all.
Oh, my. And you're enclosed on a bus, and you're traveling hundreds of miles, and you're like, you've got to deal with all these different personalities. God bless those drivers.
If they'd just leave the drivers alone, maybe they would have been fine. But no.
Yeah, just keep your drink into yourself. God.
Search and Rescue got involved with this next case. A snowmobiler was reported missing in the Vail Pass Recreation Area, and deputies, along with Summit County Rescue Group, responded to the parking lot at the top of the pass and found the snowmobiler's vehicle.
Yeah, so this is the search and rescue we had this weekend where we ended up finding a skier under an avalanche. And these, as you know, Tom, we've talked about so many times, all of these search and rescue incidents involve a ton of resources. And a lot of those, especially our rescue team, they're all volunteers.
Yeah.
This was a local that had been doing this for a long time, backcountry skier. Vail Pass, as you had just mentioned on the last thing we were just talking about, where he was snowmobiling and skiing. You know, this unfortunately is where we run into, we rescue more experts than you would think. Think like, what they're talking about doesn't apply to me because I've been doing this so long. Yeah. I'm not saying this is in this case, but this person was known for doing this, going out by himself on a snowmobile, finding some great backcountry skiing with this horrible winter we've had and all the warnings from the Colorado Avalanche Information Center, all the warnings from the Summit County Rescue Group about wet slabs, heavy snow on top of rotten corn snow. Mm-hmm. Slide potential is really high.
Yeah.
And that's sadly what happened to one of our locals, someone that's lived here for, you know, a couple decades, really well known in the community and well respected, and well respected for his talents in the backcountry. I mean, he really was an expert, just in unfortunate circumstances. But this is one of those things where his snowmobile was found in Summit County, and he was found a few feet away in Eagle County.
Oh, wow.
So you have two teams responding and trying to coordinate this. And, you know, unfortunately, in a situation like this, because the body is found in a different county, it goes to that coroner, even though you would think it would make sense that maybe our coroner would take it to make it easier on the family. But these are things that are just get complicated when you talk about jurisdictional lines, and especially in our county where every line, jurisdictional line is jagged.
Yeah.
There are no straight box lines.
Not at all.
No. Wow. But, you know, this is just one more death in Summit County that's one death too many.
It was a busy weekend in the Vail Pass Recreation Area. That was the weekend of the Snowcat Jamboree.
So were they up there, too? Yeah, were you up there?
I wasn't there. I passed out, but there's a lot of other buddies that went up there, and I wasn't feeling up for it, so I passed on going out with them. But then I heard about this all going on. Like, oh, man.
Oh, wow.
That's not a good
thing. Because you usually go up there and drone it, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, hang out there, take some pictures, videos.
I've seen some cool videos you've done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's too bad that something
sad
out of the weekend.
another avalanche situation, an avalanche that was reported on Quandary Peak, as well as a visual of more people skidding up the mountain. Deputies requested a helicopter to fly over to see if the tracks going into the slide also came out of the slide.
Yeah, so a couple things on this one. Nobody was caught in it, so let's get that out of this slide.
Okay.
By the time we got done investigating, but, you know, here again where resources are stretched in terrain that we should not be going into. I'm saying rescuers, volunteers that we get sucked into because someone has created an avalanche. This is why it's so important that if you cause an avalanche or you see a debris field, to report it. Even if you cause it, you're not.
And it's okay to call 911 on something like this.
You're not in trouble.
Right.
It's okay to cause an avalanche. But what it would prevent, like in this case, is if it had been reported, we potentially could have stopped other people from going into the field.
Yeah.
But when people don't know it, where it says we saw other skinners going in, luckily with our relationships, especially with like Flight for Life, that we were able to ask them, could you just fly over that? You know, because they were in the air. We could get them to look at it quicker than we get a drone up,
right,
to make sure that there was traction, tracks out, which they saw. But it's this timely reporting that is going to ultimately save lives for people that don't know what they're walking into.
What if you're in the backcountry, you see an avalanche or cause an avalanche, and you don't have any signal on your cell to report?
Well, at least GPS it so you know where you caused it.
Drop a pin. Yeah.
And then as soon as you get service, call that in.
All right. Stay safe in the backcountry.
Oh, my gosh. Especially between now and the end.
Yeah.
Which could be any day now.
This has just been...
because it's melting.
One of the weirdest winters on record.
Yeah, but all these storms, I mean, they've all been wet storms, which is really unusual, as you know, Tom, for Summit County.
Right.
Really,
we haven't had that legendary champagne powder.
No, we have not.
It's
not
just
once.
Been like Sierra cement.
Oh, my. I thought I was going to break my back shoveling in the driveway the other day.
Oh, man.
I was like, oh, my goodness.
Suspicious activity. A deputy found a vehicle with a stolen license plate mounted on the rear bumper. The license plate on the front of the vehicle was not a stolen plate and was associated with the vehicle. We have some body cam audio on this one.
Vehicle's unoccupied, has a different front plate. Can you copy a second plate?
So this plate is stolen and it doesn't come back to a car. The front plate, though, I think it does come back to this car with an active registration.
Sounds familiar, right?
Yeah.
And this plate was on it. Well, it's just weird that the front plate is different. Are you good to just keep eyes on it for a second? Sweet. Thank you. Give me 1 second.
Hello?
Hi, this is Sergeant Goldstein with the Summit County Sheriff's Office. How are you doing?
Good, good.
Are you in Breckenridge by chance right now, Breckenridge, Colorado?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Are you close to your car at all?
No, not really.
Okay. Is there any chance you could come meet us at your car?
In like a couple hours. What's going on?
Well, currently your car has a stolen license plate on it.
I did notice that. I notified the DMV yesterday. Someone switched my plate out.
So somebody switched your plate out?
Yeah, the front plate's still valid. It's still the right one, but yeah, I don't know when it happened.
Okay, and that's what I saw as well, that your front plate is still correct. And so where did it get swapped out at?
I live in Denver. I think someone swapped it in, like, my parking garage or some shit.
Okay, and you just noticed it yesterday?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, so here's the deal, man. Since it has a stolen hit on it, we're going to take the back plate off of it, okay?
Sure, yeah.
Because I don't want you to get stopped. I know a cop thinks that you stole the car or something like that. But I did notice that you still have the current front plate, and I know that you are the registered owner of that car, so I'm not worried about the car being stolen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this back license plate off. When you get back to your car, I'd recommend just putting your front license plate on your rear, just because that's generally where we look for it until you get it sorted out with the DMV, that you, you know, get new plates or whatever that may be. Your back plate obviously got stolen. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. And did you report that to the Denver Police Department or did you just report it to the DMV?
I just sent the DMV an email. Yeah, I can call them up.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I'd recommend probably reporting that to the Denver Police Department, just because then what they'll do is they'll enter your current plate in as stolen, and then you'll have to just get new plates from the DMV, because obviously that plate will be invalid.
Right.
Does that all kind of make sense?
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Okay.
So it wasn't a fraudulent rental vehicle. At least on the surface, it doesn't appear.
Well,
to be.
No, this wasn't. But this is the result of what of another fraud scheme or criminal activity. So what happens is that I steal a car. I find a car that looks like it, maybe same color, same make, same model, in a parking lot, and I will steal the back plate with the current registration. So that when the person reports the car stolen, now I have a clean plate on the back. Or if I'm committing a crime, I'll do the same thing. I'll find one. And so what happened to this kid was, and these criminals depend on you doing exactly what this kid did, is he noticed that his plate had been stolen and that it wasn't his on the back. He didn't call the police to report it. He sent an email because it's easy. That's what the cool kids do today. They just email and text, right?
Yeah.
He figured he did his thing by notifying the DMV that his plate was stolen and never reported it. So in other words, his plate that was stolen from his car is potentially on a stolen car, but it's a clean plate right now. And I say clean meaning it's not reported stolen. So you're driving around in a stolen car with a plate that has not been reported stolen, that comes back to a similar, same make, model, color, but you wouldn't know that it was stolen until you went and ran the VIN. So this is how these things work, and they go on all the time. And just like the fraud schemes we talk about where people are hoping like that, maybe you think, God, do I have a warrant out? Maybe I should pay this $500. Or you do know you have a warrant out. Right. This is the same thing. These criminals are banking on that you're probably not going to, A, find it. Because who looks at the back license plate all the time on your car? When was the last time you looked at the back license, actually looked at the back license plate?
I'm kind of geeky like that.
So you do it?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, well, good for you.
Yeah, I do.
But most people are like, oh, God, I don't think I've ever looked at it. And I'm like, well, that's what they're banking on. That's what the criminals are hoping to happen. So they go continue, you know. And then all of a sudden, your plate now gets reported in a crime.
Uh-huh.
And the cops come knocking on your door. And that's usually when you go out to your car with the cops and you go, oh, someone stole my plate.
Uh-huh. So at least he caught something? It a little bit in advance of anything bad happening.
Well, he left it on the car, though. And that's why the deputies found it, because the plate that he found, the plate the deputy found on the car had been reported stolen.
Oh.
So in other words, the criminal took the good plate, put the bad plate on the car so the kid wouldn't notice,
right?
Which he did, though.
Yeah.
He just didn't do anything about it. And now he's driving around with a stolen plate, but the kid never thought that, oh my God, I'm driving around with a stolen plate. So had he been driving that car, there's the absolute potential that he could have been stopped at gunpoint because the cops would have thought he's driving a stolen car.
Oh, yeah, got a hit on the stolen car. It's like, oh, yeah.
See, isn't that crazy?
It's just wild.
And this stuff goes on more than you can imagine.
So is there a way to put out kind of like an all-points bulletin on that license plate through the plate readers that we have around and find that?
Yes, you could. And that's up to that agency. You could do that, absolutely. Yeah. It starts with it getting reported. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the criminals just do this. They just keep changing the plate out. Every time they see a car that looks like the one they're driving and stolen, like, ooh, I need a clean plate. I'm going to go grab that plate. So they're driving around at night just stealing license plates.
So check your license plates. Make sure the front and the rear match. And then make sure that it's supposed to go to your vehicle and not somebody else's.
Oh, my gosh. Jeez. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Frauds, they just continue in one way, shape, or form or another. And we'll continue to talk about them here on the Summit County Justice.
Yeah. Files. Hey, job security, right?
Right.
Oh, God.
Well, that's a wrap for this week's Summit County Justice Files. I'm Tom Fricke with Crystal 93 here with Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons. And remember, knowledge is power, and a little laughter along the way doesn't hurt either.
It actually helps,
yes,
right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And just so we're clear, our coverage doesn't include every crime. We leave out the most serious and sensitive cases. And all suspects are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. With that said, stay safe, stay informed, and if you're thinking about committing a crime, just remember it never ends well, and you just might end up as our next feature on the Justice Files.
You can read about the Justice Files as well on the Summit County Sheriff's Office website. That web address is summitsheriffcolorado.gov. Until next time, this is the Summit County Justice Files, where law meets laughs. Justice always has the final say. And as always, Summit County Sheriff Jamie Fitzsimons, thank you for your service.
Pleasure, Tom. That was a lot of fun, right?
It's always fun. Never a dull moment on the Justice Files.